because I keep dying. It keeps killing me. Even though
mine's oh, dead. Yeah.
This is a weird glitch where I don't it's win just, the yeah, fight and then yeah. I die.
Yeah, my health keeps getting to really zero and I don't really know why.
Yeah, it's so weird.
They'll patch it in the next one.
Maybe.
Guardians podcast. We talk about our favorite games, video game news, just about anything else. My name is Matt, and as always, I'm here with my best friends, Marissa and Sacco. I'd like to remind everybody that there are no stupid questions, so I'm going to start us off with a question right now, Marissa.
Hello, Matt.
How are you doing today?
I'm okay. How are you?
I am doing wonderful. I am feeling
like a boss.
Oh, that's a good one. I was going to go more of the.
You weren't going to say like a boss.
I wasn't going to say like a boss. I was going to say nostalgic.
Oh, memorable. Wow, you're really bad at this.
Like, I'm really feeling,
bad. I was feeling like I was remembering all the good times and the bad times.
It's not that hard, Matt. You take a word from the topic and then you memories. Think of a phrase that you can say that will lead us to that topic.
The word I was thinking of was memories, and then I was going to say, hey, remember all those boss fights that were great? Hey, Marissa, what's today's topic?
That's not... The best way segue. To do it. No.
Not a great segue. It's a segue. It's like I'm riding around the mall on one of those beep beep segues.
So I have another podcast, right? The Queens of Fantasy podcast. And we start each episode by reading the passage that appears at the start of every book.
Sure.
Which the last
good,
bit of
it's
it is.
A good
is,
way to start a podcast.
Yeah. The last little bit of that first paragraph is... But the wind was not a beginning. There is no beginnings nor endings to the turning of the wheel of time. But it was a beginning. And that just made... That was not the segue, but it was a segue.
Yeah, yeah. But that it's also... That's actually a really good, like, because it's the beginning of the podcast, right?
Yeah.
That's good. You guys...
It's clever.
You know like, what you're doing
like
sometimes.
We put, it's like we put thought into it.
What? Thought? That's
thought?
Illegal.
Who would have...
That's illegal.
All right. Well, I'm feeling like a boss today. So our
like a bout.
What is today's topic?
Today's topic is what are some of the most memorable boss fights that you've experienced in video games? And by the way, this is specifically memorable. So not hardest, not favorite necessarily. Not necessarily the one that left you feeling the most accomplished, but some way significantly memorable.
I have a couple of answers.
Okay.
If I shall go first.
We have an hour, Matt. As use past... time wisely. Oh. You
so
don't have an hour.
Once upon
we have
a time,
hour.
I was a young lad in a Best Buy or EB Games. No, I'm kidding.
When I so, like, was a young lad.
Which we don't have the rights to that song.
When I was a young lad, I ate berries and cream. Berries and cream. Berries and cream. Also don't have. Anyways, so Final Fantasy IX, everybody knows we're going there. You saw it coming. I saw it coming. Here's the thing about the memorability. Because I'm not going with the final boss fight. I'm not even going of the final fight with this boss. But there's a character. Her name is Beatrix. She's fierce. She scares me. And she's very, very strong. You fight her 3 times in the game. The first 2 are physically impossible to beat. I did not know this. I did not know it was part of the bit. I didn't know Square Enix wanted me to cry. But there's a city called Bermekia, and in Bermekia it constantly rains. It's a rainy town.
Just
whole
like
vibe.
It just perpetually rains.
It's perpetually like if that's the atmosphere, that is like the vibe of the town. It's a rainy town. Everybody wears trench coats. But here's the thing. The queen is like, well, I don't know if you know if it's the queen yet, but they're under war and everybody's dead.
Oh my god, spoiler alert.
Spoilers for the fucking 20-year-old game. So you go to Bermekia, and everybody's gone, deserted. You're like, fuck. One of your party members is like, looking for their best friend slash maybe partner. You don't really know. They're hinting at a romantic relationship, but it's like undecided. So she's like, I gotta find fucking this guy. You're all over Bermekia looking, just rain pouring down on you the whole time. The emotions are high. There's murdered bodies. There's no blood because it's rated teen, but there's murdered bodies everywhere. And you're just like, what the fuck is going on?
The rain washed all the blood away, man.
Yeah, yeah. Let the rain fall down.
Also don't have the rest of that song.
But there's the specific thing about Beatrix is that her theme song is like, it's like a war chant, and it's like drums. It's like doo doo ch, and it's like, it's powerful, and it's just playing, and you're like, I'm about to get fucking murdered in the rain to hide my tears as I'm being murdered. And I didn't know that the fight wasn't winnable, but also you could also lose the fight. Like, it's not one of the fights where if you take enough damage, it just like ends and you die. It's like you had to last long enough. So the fight ends when you like, if you deplete her health, she unleashes her power move, and it's like a one hit like combo, and you're just dead. Mm-hmm. Or if 10 moves pass and she hasn't killed you, so you need to survive 10 moves or kill her, well, deplete her health, and then she's like, I don't have time for this, and she just does like one passing move, and then like it looks like you die, like it looks like the game is over. They tease you, and it's like ingrained in my head. This is a bit embarrassing, but I'm going to tell the story anyways. Because of the rain and so much, I would relive that moment every time I took a shower when I was like 12. I'd be in the shower and it'd be like raining, and it'd be like, wow, I really fucking let them down. They're murdered. They're just not doing well. The rain would just be hitting the rain. The shower head would be in my head. I'd be like,
the rain is my bathtub.
Vivi got murdered, man. Like, she fucking ripped him apart. Like, damn. But the problem was that the game was also hard. So I kept losing. Like, I wouldn't last the 10 rounds. Like, she would just kill me, and then I'd be like, fuck, like, I can't beat this boss fight. And then when I finally did, she killed me anyways, and I was like, it's another game over. And, like, I walked away.
You're like, I'm done.
I'm like, that's it. I'm still... And then eventually I realized, I was like, it wasn't that long. It was, like, the next day I went back, and then I died again, and I was like, what the fuck is happening? And then it, like, pans open, and you're like, you wake up in a hospital. Mm. And it was rememberable mostly because it was traumatic. It was memorable. It was rememberable mostly because of how traumatic it was, and it really stuck with me.
That trauma.
It was a good. And then the second time you fight her, she also murders you immediately, and you're like, I've seen this before. Spoiler alert, at the end of the game, you actually never beat her. She's always too strong, which is at the end of the game, she's like, I think I'm fighting for the wrong team. Maybe I should help you out. Like, thank fucking God, because I did not want to do that again. I really did not want to do that again. Thank you so much, please.
Let me help you out.
You can use your powerful move, and it's just like, you're just fucking steaming through people. It's actually really fucking embarrassing, because there's like mini bosses. Similar to the people that you met on like the side of the road, Marissa, when it's like 5 a.m. in Final Fantasy 15, and they're like, you're not supposed to beat them, even though you beat them. You fight like in that game, you're like, you meet them, and it's like,
are you mad at me about that?
I'm not. I just think it's funny. I'm not actually. It's a bit. Like, so there's like monsters where it's like they're supposed to be really fucking hard, and like they're like almost mini bosses, and then when you play as Beatrix, it's like they're just everywhere, and you're just like, ha ha ha. I feel like it's like Ciri. I guess Ciri does the same thing. When you play The Witcher, and she just kind of like power through, you just
yeah, go. And you're like, okay,
yeah,
sweet. I just need Ciri for the final fight, and it'll be easy.
There's always an excuse. They're like, oh, sorry, the princess is in another castle. I have to go. Okay, bye. I'll do the bad guy by myself.
It's fine.
Thanks, anyways.
I didn't want the OP character.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I will say I was playing Baldur's Gate last night, and I ended up in a place that I don't think I actually like. I'm usually better at paying attention to what quests I'm going on, but I followed through a quest that I didn't actually really want to do. Like, it doesn't align with my character at all. And so I got in there, and the guy was like, oh, hey, it's like, I'm going to try and say it without too many spoilers, but there's like a murder clan.
Murder?
On the Orient Express.
A murder cult clan. And you can try to infiltrate their ranks, but obviously you have to like prove yourself by murdering a whole bunch of people, which is not the vibe I'm going for this playthrough. And I accidentally, like, I just wasn't paying attention to what the quest marker was actually for, and I just followed to a quest marker, and I ended up in front of this guy, and he was like, hey, like, how are you going to prove it to me that, like, you're the best murderer ever? And I was like, listen, I'm not. Like, I don't think you understand. I'm just, I don't think I want to do this anymore. And I was like, maybe later.
I took a wrong turn. I'm just going to leave. I'm gonna go back that way.
My friends are actually waiting outside, and I would like to not be here.
This isn't the library? No way.
And for the record, before I got into this boss fight, I had to reload because I was at the door. There was like three guards at the door, and I picked the wrong dialogue choice, and they fought me. And I'm level 11, so I'm not... I'm not beginning of the game.
Oh, not super low.
Yeah,
not super low.
I don't know what the
level is. I'm in Act 3.
I'm in like 20s max.
Like, how long did it take us to get to like level 5 in D&D? Like, it took a while.
Yeah, and I have some pretty wicked, like, I have like level 6 spells. Yeah. I've got some, a pretty good, you know, party. And I picked the wrong option with the guard at the door, and the guard had like 300 health.
Yeah, don't fight that guy.
No.
And his side guards.
Can I roll again?
Side guards had like 200 health.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, well, I'm just going to try my best. And I tried for one round of fighting and they fucked me up. And I was like, okay, reload. Like, let's choose a different dialogue option so they don't kill me. And so then I went in and I talked to this guy. Like, I got the good dialogue and went in past these guards, talked to that guy. And then the guy was like, hey, I'm going to murder you now because, like, you don't seem like you're into our cult and you'll make a, like, I'm going to murder you now, basically, because you won't murder for me. So guess what? Like, I get to kill you. And I was like, great, cool. And so first of all, the first thing I did was look to see if the guards entered the fight, and they did.
Oh.
So it was like, it was them. And then he had like three people in the room with him, and they were like 90 health each, which wasn't bad, but he was also like 350, and I was like, I think I should, but I tried it for like five rounds. Like, I was legitimately like, no, I can do it. Like, I couldn't do just the three of them, but now that there's seven of them, sure, I can totally do that.
The math is mathing. It's very clear that you just needed to roll a couple more.
Yeah, right? Points.
That's what we needed.
It's fine. It's fine. That's how I play Baldur's Gate. I will say, I've been playing too much Baldur's Gate, so one of the things I thought of immediately is actually one of the Baldur's Gate bosses.
Yeah.
But I don't want to talk about it because I know both of you. Well, both of you will eventually play it, though, and I don't really want to spoil it.
You could. Do you think we'll remember? We have short attention spans.
Do you think we'll remember?
We might forget.
But the people at home might remember, Matt.
Okay.
Well,
Baldur's Gate is kind of a new game.
Yeah, I feel like this is it still within the spoiler-free area if we can't say too much about it? How long is it up
for? I can just talk about the gameplay.
Yeah.
I won't talk about the circumstance that you end up in this. So first off,
it's not a year old yet. It came out in August 2023.
Yeah, what's the judgment call here? You guys advise.
If it's less than a year, I feel like we can't be too spoilery. Okay.
If it's major, you can spoil some stuff unless it's like, if it's side
like
plots,
super
I think it's
major
okay.
plot points.
Okay, are you okay with the gameplay being spoiled?
Yeah. Go ahead. That's fine.
Okay, so I'm going to keep this as vague as possible and not talk about too much of this, but...
Unnamed evil man.
Well, I was just going to say big bad.
Unnamed big bad.
Why does it have to be a man, Sacco?
big
why
bad.
Why can't it be a scary entity?
This does take place in Act 2. It's the end of Act 2. So if you're not at that point and you don't want spoilers at all on the gameplay, maybe just skip ahead a little bit. We have a big bad Act 2. And you fight him once. But you have help, let's say, from another character. Or you can, potentially. I had help. And he wasn't that bad. You get him down to like half health. And he has about, I want to say like 280 or something health. So I got him down to like 140. And then he's like, he does the big bad thing where he's like, I don't have time for this. Like, clearly, I'm not losing, but I'm going to leave because I have better things to do. So he leaves and he actually like steals your helper.
Interesting.
And that's a problem.
Yeah.
So then you find him later at the very end of Act 2. And first off, you can free your helper if you have the helper's help. I'm trying really hard to be vague. So the helper is
the helper person shows up and helps out, but then they help the other guy, which is not good.
The helper is caged, so you have to take an action to essentially free them if you want them to join in the fight. Okay?
Yeah.
So I realized that pretty quickly, immediately freed them.
For sure.
Apparently that's actually idea. Like maybe not the right strategy.
Not what you should do.
Because that person uses a lot of really big attacks in the first bit of the fight, then that might be more helpful later.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
So apparently it's a strategy to like not do that, but whatever. I didn't know that. So I was like, I'm going to help you. Yay. And then you fight him and there's this, I'm going to call it like a big donut. Like there's a large donut platform. Sure. And the center is just a hole, which I was like, okay, I don't really know what.
Yes,
yeah, and you can like climb up to the donut platform and that's where he is, right? That's where he is. So I'm fighting this guy up there and I'm thinking, wow, I'm getting out his health, all this stuff. And he's got all these other creatures that are coming after me, but I'm like, I'm just going to focus on this guy. Like, it's fine. So I focus on him because I was like, once he's dead, it'll probably just auto kill the rest of them, right? Because that's sometimes how bosses work. No, because there's a part 3 of his fight.
Oh.
So you kill him and then he says, surprise, this that was not my final form.
Oh my god, somebody call an ambulance, larger. But not for me.
Yeah, legit. And then he's in the center of the donut as this
donut
giant version.
All along.
And he has a scythe, giant scythe. So if you're up there, he can just like
hack it down.
And then he gets two turns or two moves around. So he'll do that. And then he'll just like do this like evil death stare at one of your characters for a whole bunch of damage that might frighten them. And so that's fun, right? I found out the hard way that if you're not up on the platform, he does this pull move where he pulls all of your party up onto the platform and hits them for like 50 damage, ooh, which is some of my character's health.
Like just one hit.
Just one shot. Gale is dead.
God damn it, Gale.
God damn it, Gale.
We needed you.
God fucking
so,
damn it, Gale.
I will say, I ended up playing this fight with a save in which two of my people were alive, and I was just going back and forth between reviving them until he made a mistake.
Yeah. Maybe not the best. Did it work?
It worked. I did it.
So it is that is the best strategy.
That
fuck
is.
It.
You're good.
If anybody knows exactly what fight you're talking about, that's what you should do.
Yeah.
That's what you should do.
I will not remember to do this.
It's not the only strategy, but...
Hey, but it's a legitimate strategy.
But it's a legitimate strategy. It's your legitimate strategy.
I will say I am enjoying Baldur's Gate. I now have a move called Divine Intervention.
Damn.
Which I can call in a favor from my god one time. And then I can never use it again.
Like, oh, like one
I
time
don't know.
For the whole game.
Yeah, for a whole game. So, saving that one.
I feel like that's going to be like, just kill everything instantly, but you can only do it once.
Yeah, that's what I'm hoping. But watch me use it on the like actual final fight, and then it's like, oh, I got hit for like 50 health.
He's like, here's like, 10 oh, health. Okay. Have fun.
The god comes out and just says, hey, good luck.
Yeah.
Like, I'm rooting for you. I believe in you.
It's a plus one luck stat. It's not even
luck good.
Plus one.
You get advantage on your next roll. Like,
on your next roll. Not so much. Infinitely. Just one.
No, just on your next roll.
Yeah, it would be really fun. I do have other games. I don't know if Sacco has any because he's never prepared.
Yeah. I actually have a couple games. So one, me
I don't
and Matt.
Do Halo.
It's not Halo. Actually, there's no bosses in Halo.
Me and Matt do. What do you mean?
Oh well, there's. I guess at the end of Halo 2, there's a boss, but there wasn't like Halo 1, 3,
Halo
4.
Halo 1 doesn't have a plot.
Halo 1 doesn't have a boss. No boss. you. The boss is the ring explodes. Halo 3, the boss is the ring explodes. Like the same thing. Anyways, God of War.
Spoilers.
We both did play God of War,
but you didn't fight the Valkyries.
I fucking walked into one of those fights once by mistake, yeah. And I was like, huh, I wonder what this is. This looks like a cool room.
So yeah.
And then I promptly said, that is not for me. That should have had a do not enter. That was caution, do not cross.
I'm pretty sure Mimir tells you. He's like, oh my god, this is like the house of a Valkyrie.
Yeah, I was going to say, I would not have been surprised.
There was like some sort of
warning. There was a sign, and Matt was just like, wow, that...
The one that I found, though,
good thing
like,
I can't read!
I went through like a portal or something. It was just a room that was completely separate from the map. Like I walked through something.
Yeah.
And I was already in the room. And then he's like, oh, I think this is one of those Valkyrie things. I was like, I heard people talk about that on the internet. I'm playing my game on easy. I wonder what's going to happen.
You get fucked up.
And I walked up and then the Valkyrie said flick. And then I said that flicked me right back to the start screen. Time to reload my game. Never enter that room again.
But so the Valkyries in the first God of War, I don't know if they're in the second one, but in the first one, there's 8 Valkyries, and then there's
fuck you up.
But then there's a Queen Valkyrie, so there's 9 total.
Oh,
Valkyries.
I didn't know that there was. Do you have to kill all 8 to get?
Yeah,
to the ninth?
So you kill all 8 Valkyries, or you free them by fighting them. Mm. Once they're all freed, you go and fight the Valkyrie Queen, and each Valkyrie has a different fight style. Like, they don't fight the same, and they all have a different set of moves. But the Valkyrie Queen has all of the strongest moves from all 8 of the Valkyries.
You hate to see it.
So, like, the whole thing, like, this is like a complete side plot, because Matt beat the game, didn't fight a single Valkyrie. Or he got scared by one.
Hold on.
He got scared by one and ran away.
I fought one single Valkyrie and then died and then said never again.
Matt didn't defeat a single Valkyrie. But yeah, like, so you fight all these 8 Valkyries, and like each Valkyrie took me like maybe 10 or 15 tries to beat, because like you have to memorize the moves and like how to dodge them, when to counter, that kind of stuff. And then you get all the way to the end, and then you fight the Queen Valkyrie, and then it's just you have to remember everything you did for the last 8 Valkyrie fights. And it's just, it was like the last, so each one probably took me 10, 15 tries. The last one probably took me like 30. Because like most of her moves just are one hit kills.
Like the learning curve?
Yeah, well, but most of them are one, so if you make a mistake, it's over. Like, because she has like the strongest moves. Some of them are just one hit kills, and so you make a mistake, it's done. Even doesn't matter how low her health was. Sick fight. It was really rewarding, definitely, to beat all 8 and then beat the
that.
Yeah, and then beat the queen. It was really sick.
I mean, it doesn't sound sick.
Well, I like the fact that it was unique. Each fight really felt unique. They were all in like different arenas. It was like really sick. It was a really, really well thought out little side quest.
Yeah. it reminds me of Link's Awakening. Because in Link's Awakening, the entire game, there's Link shows up on an island, gets deserted on the island. He's trying to get back home. Doesn't know who he is. He wakes up with amnesia. And there's a giant egg on top of the mountain. And the whole game, there's an owl that's coming and saying, like, if you want to leave, you have to wake up the windfish. Like, you got, that's the whole plot, is like, to for you to rediscover yourself, you got to wake up the windfish. And everybody else on the island is like, don't fucking do it. Like, if you wake up the windfish, we will all get murdered. Do not do it. And then the owl comes and it's like, Link, if you want to get back to Zelda, you got to wake up the windfish. Like, if you want to be yourself again, this is all a dream. You got to wake up. You're in the dream. And you're kind of like struggling with the fact of like, should I wake up? But it's like the main boss, like you have to. But once you, the egg cracks, you go inside the egg, and then you have to fight shadow bosses of like previous bosses. So they have like that same, like, you're saying that the Queen Valkyrie has like the fight style of all of the other Valkyries. Like, the Windfish has the fight style of all the like bosses, but they're in shadow form. And there's like also some from A Link to the Past, because that game came out like right before it.
Yeah.
So you're fighting past bosses in shadow form inside the Windfish.
That's pretty cool.
And it's like a collection of everything that it's like very much giving Valkyrie. That's not the memorable fight for me. The memorable fight for me in that game is the genie, because he was a fucking prick.
Why are you talking about it if it's not the most memorable fight, man?
I was reminded of the Valkyrie. That was a segue.
It was a yes and.
Link's Awakening is one of my favorite Zelda games ever. They remastered it for the Switch, so you can play that one. Both are good. I played it on the Game Boy Color, but both are good. Every single boss in that game is memorable, and every mini boss is memorable. Like, even the mini bosses have so much character that I'm like, I want to talk about all of them. The only one I'm going to pick on is the genie. You're in the bottle grotto. Everything is just like vases and bottles. You finally get the ability to like pick them up and smash them. So it's great. It's Link's dream. You're just smashing fucking ceramic vases and bottles all day. And then you get to the boss fight, and there's a genie bottle. And you try and break it, and then he comes out and he says, "You can't break my bottle." And then he fucks with you. And it's just like he taunts you the whole time. And when you just have to break his bottle. And once you break the genie's bottle, he comes out. But like then he gets super strong and just like immediately flies at you and kills you. Again, super, it was one of the more challenging ones for me as a child. But it was just the fact that he taunts you the whole time that it's like it's ingrained in my head. And it was like, I was having so much fun smashing all these vases. Like, I felt like a true Zelda fan. And like, this is Link's dream, is just smashing shit and finding rupees. And then all of a sudden, this genie starts taunting me. And I didn't think about that one in the shower. But because it was raining.
Because it wasn't raining.
that one wasn't raining. But it was very traumatic for the genie to mock me. I don't like it when things mock me.
The mocking thing really sticking to you, eh?
Why are you mocking me? Yeah. I'm doing my best.
Same with Cuphead. You hate that the fucking bosses mock you at the end.
All the other bosses, they're like, whatever. But the genie in Link's Awakening, he goes like this with his... He waves his hand above his head and goes... like a clown. It's like,
and that's how you become alone, man.
Oh my God.
Leave me alone.
That's fucking funny.
So I have a question, Matt. Where are you in The Witcher?
You can spoil it.
Can I?
Yeah. I give
you
permission.
Are you sure?
It's a really old game.
Like, really old.
You're not answering my question.
I did the witches. I don't know where Ciri is. The hags, yeah. The three.
What do you mean you did the witches?
There's the three. You go to the swamp area.
You go to the swamp
kid. And they're like the three. They're pictures on the wall, and they're really pretty. And then they show up, and they're really ugly. And the Witcher's like, "You look nothing like your photo." And then they like cut off people's ears and shit.
Yeah, that's how they hear things. They hang them in trees in the forest.
Yeah,
Lovely game.
Did, that's lovely game where
that,
I'm with, at.
That Witcher.
I didn't. You can spoil. You can spoil whatever you want. That's an old game. I can't keep that. Like,
that's
no. My but I'm fault. Asking you.
He said yes. He said you could spoil it.
Yeah. I'm saying you could spoil it.
All right. Well, so the part I'm talking about is much after that, but it is the crones, which they're called, not the witches.
Well, there's three of them, and they have spells.
Yeah, so you fight them in kind of an unexpected spot, I would say. Like, I wasn't necessarily...
I don't think I actually fought them. I think I just did a mission, and they were like, thanks for doing
yeah,
that.
Yeah, and then they're like, they come back. Yeah,
I never fought them.
Okay, so the part where you can actually fight the crones happens like close to the end of the game, so I won't spoil too much of like the context of what's going on. However, I will say you are Ciri.
Oh.
So you get to play as Ciri, which is very lucky because Geralt against them would have been much harder. Ciri's kind of OP in the game, and the crones are also quite OP. I think they like, it's kind of, there's kind of a jump scare to start it all off, and you fight them in this like cave, and I don't think it's memorable because it's necessarily hard. Like, it's not an easy fight for sure, but it's definitely not the hardest one in the game, I think, or where I got caught up the most. But I will say they definitely, they're so memorable as characters that I think this fight is one of the more memorable ones. And given the fact that, like, when you first run into them, I mean, there's dread because I really don't want to fight them necessarily, but you kind of do want to fight them because they're dicks and they suck.
Yeah.
So I just remember this fight a lot. And I also love that at that point you're playing as Ciri, who kind of gets, because she also runs away from them at one point because they are fucked.
Yeah.
And so I love that she gets her little revenge moment.
They're scary.
They're pretty fucked up.
They were pretty intense. I didn't love
being
around them because they were
the character design.
A little
horror-esque. Detailed. It's a very detailed character design. They got a lot of accessories.
Yeah.
Yeah, they got a lot going on.
And the accessories are body parts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And everything about them is fucked up. Like, they like lure people into this way. It's fucked up. The whole thing is fucked up.
Hey, they're good at what they do.
Unfortunately, yeah. What they do is
what
eat
they
children.
Do is scare me. They're getting it. Is that your most memorable fight from The Witcher?
The most memorable fight from The Witcher. Yeah, I would say like that one's the one that stuck with me the most.
Yeah.
Other than smaller fights, because I just was playing on really hard and they.
Yeah.
Caught me up there. To be honest, I was mostly so prepped by the time I went into boss fights that I didn't have as much trouble as them when I was like wandering and I ran into something accidentally, because I was always way less prepared for.
Yeah.
There's also a really, really awesome one in the DLC that I love.
The vampires.
Yeah.
The vampire.
That one.
The Beast of Beauclair.
The Beast of Beauclair is probably my favorite story. So the boss fight
is just memorable.
Really,
because of that.
It's more memorable because of the story, and also it's very, very intense. But I think honestly, with The Witcher, the first time you run into a certain type of beast, that's usually like I remember those ones a lot. And they're not boss fights, but
they're just.
But because it's like the first time you run into like a vampire-like creature, you have to learn all the ways to fight it. Especially on hard mode, you have to be like, "Oh shit, I need this oil. I need like this.
I don't think I've ever used an oil
Yeah, because you're playing easy.
I didn't either. I played on normal.
One time I didn't use one. Like with the werewolf, and they were like, you're going to need this oil, like do this and this and this. And like, I did it because it was like quest points. And then after that moment, I was like, that was obviously them trying to teach me what to do.
Yeah.
Never yeah.
Do yeah. They taught me how to use the mechanic.
The werewolf.
Sick. I'm not
the werewolf. I had to try multiple times. I actually had to stop trying because I couldn't defeat it. I had to come back later.
Marissa, you're never going to believe this. I also had to stop and couldn't
eat it. Did you use the oil?
I did use the oil that they told me to. I was doing something wrong. I left. I came back. I ended up doing it, but it was also like the game was broken.
I think the Witcher is really good at making smaller fights feel epic.
Yeah.
So the boss fights, they didn't stand out quite as much. There was two really good ones, like I said, the Crone and then the Beast of Beauclair. The Beast of Beauclair is just so intense because of the story. It's also a very hard boss fight. I tried it multiple, like it was tough. And the Crones was just kind of a nice... The Crones are optional as well. I don't think you have to kill them.
Yeah.
But obviously society would be better if you did.
Society.
Society.
Yeah. For the good of the world, you should probably...
Yeah. I don't know. I think it's just... It really
not
sucks
let
that
them
my game,
live anymore.
Is super glitchy because I keep dying. It keeps killing me. Even though
oh yeah,
this is a weird glitch where I don't it's win just, the
yeah,
fight and then
yeah.
I die.
Yeah, my health keeps getting to really zero, and I don't really know why.
Yeah, it's so weird.
They'll patch it in the next one.
Maybe.
We'll patch it.
Maybe.
Like I went into the fight and then I didn't
died.
Do the right
werewolf,
things, and I died.
I used the wolf's bane oil, and then the werewolf ate me. I don't understand. Like,
yeah, you told me to use the oil.
There was oil on my sword. Why am I dead?
All right, not to push us along, but I have like three more, so...
Okay, I'm going to go. Hurry up. Yeah. Another game me and Matt have both played and talked about multiple times. Spider-Man from 2000.
From 2000. You're not going to say PS1. You're going to say from 2000?
From the year 2000. Yeah, from the PS1.
To the year 2000.
Monster Hawk, which was...
Great choice.
Right? Because here's the thing. You get
chef's kiss.
You're right? So you get... So super spoilers for a game that's 24 years old. You get to the end of the game, and it's Dr. Octopus. You fight Dr. Octopus, but at the same time you're fighting Dr. Octopus, you've just teamed up with Venom. Venom is going to go fight Carnage on like the floor above you.
Super spoilers.
Super. I said it. Super spoilers for a game that's 24 years old. You beat Doc Ock, and then as like Doc Ock is falling down, Venom falls from the sky because he just got his ass kicked by Carnage. So Carnage drags you up, and you fight Carnage. Then you beat Carnage, and his symbiote suit like kind of drains away from like I forgot what his name is, the guy who's actually Carnage. Matt's looking it up.
Cletus Cassidy. I'm not looking it up. I was looking at Monster Rock. His
he
name
just
is Cletus
knew. Cassidy. Cletus Cassidy. So the Carnage slips away from Cletus Cassidy, and then it falls down onto Doc Ock.
Yeah, it's Cletus Cassidy.
And so like it revives Doc Ock as this super monster that is a mix of Dr. Octopus and Carnage. It's not really a boss fight. You just run away from him. But it was like, it was a really like,
it was
oh
fight
fuck
was,
moment. Yeah. Like it was like,
the fight was running away. Like if you didn't run away fast enough, you died.
Yeah. 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 100%. But I'm saying like, you didn't beat the shit like, out of this monster. Like it was a fucking monster.
But you had to book it. Like if you made
you
one
did.
Wrong mistake, like,
you absolutely
done.
Had to book that shit.
You're also in like a radioactive,
the
factory and like
exploding.
Shit's blowing up.
Yeah, yeah. You're in the facility that's making the poison gas or some shit. That the reason you can't touch the ground, not because they couldn't draw the ground, not because they couldn't draw the ground, because there was gas. Yeah,
it was you walk or you swing.
Yeah,
you can't touch the ground.
You can't touch the ground. Anyway, so the facility's exploding, like it's like self destructing, and you have to escape, and you get out just before it explodes. But Monster Hawk doesn't, so Monster Hawk dies and you save the city and everybody's happy.
Yeah.
But it was a really oh fuck moment. You're like, oh, I beat both bosses, like I'm done. And then it like slides down and it pans down and like Dr. Octopus is getting up just covered in carnage. Yeah. And you're like, oh shit.
It's also like PlayStation 1. So it's like there was a lot of like stuff happening off screen, and then like the one picture is just shaking, be like, what's going on over there?
Yeah, exactly.
Don't look now, but Dr.
Like, holy shit, that's like that's a lot of triangles. That's way more triangles than I just fought. Like he's got double the triangles. That's fucking scary. Yeah,
it's, no. it's a lot of triangles and three tubes.
Sorry, four tubes.
He's four tubes.
I think doesn't one of his arms get broken, or is he a full four?
No, he's
got
four,
all four.
He's four. Yeah.
Yeah. Super sick boss. Super sick ending to a game because you're like, that I'm done. Game
is fantastic. It's like
it had some really good like boss fights,
but it has like all the big ones. Like you pretty much fight everybody.
Rhino, Mysterio.
Yeah. Lizard, you're the fucking lizard.
Yeah.
You fight Scorpion.
Oh, that's Scorpion's the first one.
You fight Scorpion trying to kill
J. Jonah Jameson. Yeah, and he still manages to blame it on you.
Fucking Black Cat's in it.
Yeah, but you don't fight Black.
Daredevil's in it as
he just shows up one day. He just shows up and is like, "Hey, Spidey, you seem to be having a rough time. What the fuck, bro?
Tell me about it." Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like they're both swinging in the air. It's like, does Daredevil have
He's got like a little wand like that's like shooting something out. Like, what did Daredevil swing?
It's because they couldn't animate the floor.
Yeah. You fight. Like, you fight Venom, but you don't fight Venom.
Yeah. You fight him.
You fight him and you beat him up, and he's like, whoa. What if, hey, hold up. What if we're just like on the same team instead? Like, what if you don't beat the shit out of me? How's that sound?
This like steals Mary Jane.
He does, and he's trying to drown her. And then he apologizes. He apologizes for that.
Carnage doesn't. Carnage shows up and he's like,
no, Carnage doesn't. Carnage shows up and then he screams at you, what color do you bleed?
Yeah.
Over and over again.
Nightmare fuel.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert, it's red.
Yeah.
Like Carnage.
Yeah.
Marissa, I feel like you should. The only other game that I want to talk about is Spider-Man 2. And it's super new, and I don't know if I want to spoil it yet, so let's hear your three, and then at the end maybe we'll spoil.
All right, well, I have one from Dragon Age Inquisition, so I'm gonna try not to spoil too much about what that makes this like super memorable, but I will say you end up in Dragon Age Inquisition, you end up going into the Fade, which is kind of another realm, I'll say. Yeah, you end up in the Raw Fade, which is... yeah, so it's like a metaphysical realm. It's separated by the veil. So it separates the real world from the Fade. And then there's a veil protecting both sides, although mostly the real world, because the Fade is really messed
fucked up. Yeah. The Fade's fucked up.
It is.
Got enough going on.
The Fade is where your nightmares come from.
Yeah, you have like literal demons, nightmares. It's almost like a spiritual world, almost not really hell, but hellish for sure.
Yeah.
And so while you're in. The thing about this that is really memorable is you're on a quest and you're like sieging a fortress. So it's like normal, like very fantasy, you know, just sieging a fortress. Like that's what you would expect to find in a fantasy game.
Yeah,
and then you end up in the Fade through events I won't get into too much, but you end up kind of getting into the Fade with all your companions. And first off, some of your companions completely lose it when they realize where you have taken them. And that alone is pretty memorable. But...
well, why would you take them there? Why would you bring them to potentially almost hell?
You didn't really mean to. You were trying to save them. It's a long story. There is a nightmare demon mocking you the entire time. And they are guarding the exit from the Fade to get back into the real world. And so the entire time they are like speaking to your companions and trying to freak them out with their like deepest, darkest nightmares, their deepest fears, essentially. And one, this is really revealing because if you pay close attention to some of the companions and what the nightmare says to them, it's really illuminating to like their story. Some of the stories you would have already figured out at that point, but other ones you haven't yet come across. And so when the nightmare says something, it's just really interesting when you know what's going on.
Yeah.
The nightmare ends up being diminished in its capacity by a spirit you meet in the Fade, but you end up facing an aspect of the nightmare. And it showcases itself as a fear demon, which is like a floating spirit with spider legs coming out of its back like wings.
That sounds like fun.
That's fun. Sekou says like he hasn't fought this creature.
I did. It was awful.
Do you know exactly?
But if you haven't fought the creature yet, it sounds like you should give it a hug.
Should I?
Don't do that. Don't give it a hug.
I know we're trying not to spoil, but should I look it up? Because I kind of want to look it up.
You can look it up. You can look up a picture of it.
There, I'll look it up and I'll send it to the chat. Mercy, continue talking.
Sure. Sure.
Yeah. And so the thing that it can be a pretty hard fight because the aspect of the nightmare brings in several other demons that you then have to fight along with it. It has 70,000 HP. So just a normal amount. And the attacks I usually go for, it's actually quite immune to. So like that just makes it personally harder for my playstyle as a mage. And I don't know how much I want to spoil here. I'm going to spoil a little bit I'm not going to spoil exactly what, but in order to escape, you essentially have to leave someone behind because it transitions into a large spider. like a three-story tall spider.
Oh.
And you basically need a distraction.
Psycho just says the picture's ready. Just sending you them.
Ready. This big, giant, tall spider. Picture. There it is.
The first one is the first picture, the first like nightmare demon almost giving Doc Ock.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With the arms. Yeah.
The arms. It is. The second one is giving giant spider. Like.
Yeah.
Like
the second one is. Yeah. The second one is almost a walking like crab building.
Yeah. It's the like second one is
super fucked up. It's super fucked up.
The entire story in the Fade is really messed up. The way it mocks you, like you would hate it, because it just mocks you the entire time you're in the Fade and challenges you. And honestly, this was the first boss I thought of when you wanted to talk about boss fights. I was like, that's one I remember pretty heavily. There's one I remember from Jade Empire. That just scarred me as a child because I couldn't beat it for the longest time. And that's memorable, just not quite in the right way. So it's Grand Inquisitor Gia. And in the game, you essentially infiltrate the bad guy's main headquarters at one point. And it's inside of a tomb. So Marissa's already on edge because she had to walk through a necropolis to get to this place. And when you walk through, I didn't like it. I was not a fan. And it scared the crap out of me because I was like 14 and I didn't like jump scares and there was a lot of them. So I was already on edge. Plus, I don't like sneaking or lying or pretending all the time in games because I feel like I'm going to get caught. And the entire time you have to basically pretend you're part of the bad guy organization because you're looking for something. So like that was not great. And then you decide to blow up the whole headquarters and like collapse it.
Just naturally.
And then as you're trying to leave, Grand Inquisitor Gia is like, haha, you. Like, I know you're in charge of this. And she fights you. And I remember, first off, there was a big long cutscene that you had to watch. And then it got into the fight. And of course, it didn't like autosave at the start of the fight. It autosaved before the cutscene.
Oh,
so every time you died, you had to watch the cutscene over.
Worst. Yeah.
Just the worst, absolute right?
Worst.
Could you skip the cutscene?
You could skip, like, you could go past parts of it a little bit faster, but you couldn't skip the whole thing.
Yeah. Okay.
Hate it.
So,
yeah.
Also, the first time I fought her, I was feeling pretty cocky, and I didn't realize that. So, she has this shield around her. So, if you hit her with melee damage, it comes back on you like triple. So, you just kill yourself.
It's a good thing to
real
have.
Real fast. It's real.
It's a good shield.
It's like you're like bang, 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 and then you're dead. And then you're, yeah. I was like, oh.
What happened?
That didn't quite go. And there's a couple play styles you can have in the game, but honestly, like, I had been playing the entire time as this super heavy close combat melee style, and you can't
not what
really
you want when they have that
use
shield.
It yeah, so I had to fight her probably like 20 times, and I had to sit through that fucking cutscene every fucking time. That was the worst. Also, big theme with me, actually, one of your companions kind of jumps out and protects you from like her final. She summons someone else to kill you as she's dying, and they're about to kill you, and one of your companions sacrifices themselves to save
you.
You
hate to see it, but you also
you hate
to
see it, but like also it's great for the story,
it's
right?
Great, yeah, it's a great plot driver.
And then the last one I wanted to talk about is in Fable. So in Fable, there is a quest called the Arena, and you essentially have to fight your way through an arena and to impress the, basically leave a impression on Jack of Blades, who I've talked about before as one of like my favorite villains. He essentially, you're supposed to just, it's essentially 8 rounds, and they just send you waves of creatures and monsters of varying things in each round. And so in the arena, you are told that if you don't leave, you get more money. So if you don't leave, it grows, like your money keeps growing exponentially. But if you leave and then come back, so if you make it to round 4 and then leave the arena to get like more health and stuff, that's fine, and you'll come back at the same part you left, but you'll get less money by the end.
Yeah,
so you want to stay in the entire time. And of course, it being like an older game, you couldn't save in the middle of it. Yeah. So you would save before, and then you would try to do the whole run. And so the first round is like they send these wasps after you, then there's hobs, which is essentially like almost like an orc-like creature. Then Balverines, which is just like Wolverines. Undead, so zombies, bandits. And then there's 2 rounds of trolls. One is an earth troll, and you get 2 of them. And then the next round, you get rock trolls, 2 of them. And then you have this like giant scorpion thing that you have to fight.
Sounds horrible. Like, you just keep going, surely,
surely we're done now.
There's more.
So by the third round, somebody you went to school with to become a hero joins in. Her name is Whisper, and she was like always your rival. And so she joins in. Theoretically, this is supposed to help you, of course, with AI being what it was at the time that this game came out. She ends up getting in your way more often than not, and she's like not super helpful.
Classic.
And a lot of the monsters don't pay attention to her at all. They just come straight after you anyway. So it's just kind of like not super helpful, right?
Didn't do much.
And then once you finish the 8th round, Jack of Blades is like, wow, okay, let's put on a good show. You two have to fight to the death now. So you've gone through 8 rounds of fighting, and then you have to fight Whisper. And she's not crazy hard to beat, but also like you've just fought all these rounds,
like you're definitely low on health.
You're definitely, yeah, and you're running out of like health potions and stuff like that, and mana and stuff, like you're just not in the perfect position, especially when you're like 12 years old and you aren't necessarily like the best at video games. You've just been like trying your best and you finally get to whisper and then she kills you is not the best. So yeah, whisper was always the worst part of that.
Yeah.
For me. When I played it more recently, it was maybe for it was everybody. Much yeah. it was much easier. Well, I found a list and somebody put her as like the 10th hardest in the entire series.
I was like, in that arena?
There's only 9.
I was like, that seemed wrong.
It seems wrong. Yeah. I also really like it because once you get to the end of it, you can essentially, you can choose to save her or not once you've downed her.
Yeah.
So you do have a choice of like being the evil person or the hero, which is the whole thing of the game. So it fits in really nicely. But I fucking hated this. Like, I loved it because the arena was a cool concept and it was a cool quest. But also I hated how many times I would get to Whisper and then she would just kill me and I'd have to start all over.
It's just like, no matter what, you just can't prepare enough because you have to go through like 8 fucking levels of
eight
this
fucking
arena.
Rounds of, the arena. And the last round with the giant scorpion is actually like kind of annoying. So yeah, I just remember playing it for hours. Anyway, those were my 3.
A very good selection also.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
There's Spider-Man 2. I'm not going to spoil it. Maybe I'll talk about the one boss fight. Sacco, do you care about spoilers for Spider-Man 2?
Nope, go for it.
Not even a little bit?
No.
So here's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to mention that there, this game, now that I've been playing the story, my mouth has dropped like more than 5 times. Like every single time a plot point happens, I'm like, what the fuck? What is happening? I'm like so caught off guard, yet somehow it's done perfectly. And like they're tweaking they're not following the source material 100%, but it's working. And I keep getting like, it's like, surely the game's going to end soon. And then something happens and I'm like, oh my God, this is fucking amazing. It's a fantastic game. I love it so fucking much. I say we end it here. And then after, if you want to stick around, I will spoil one boss fight. So if anybody doesn't want Spider-Man spoilers, you can say bye now. And if you want Spider-Man spoilers,
bye-bye.
It'll be at the end.
Yeah.
Okay, so we'll play the outro music and everything, and then you'll spoil the boss fight.
Get spoiled about what happens when.
All right. Well, then we have to talk about what we're currently playing.
You're never gonna guess.
Spider-Man 2.
Spider-Man 2.
Spent a lot of time playing this game, not doing the story, and now that like I've done like almost every single side mission, I think like. The districts are all 100% completed. I have so many, like I'm almost platinum to the game and I haven't touched the plot that much. And now that I'm touching the plot, I'm like, I can't get enough. Like I should have done this so long ago. I don't know why I saved it till the end. This is fucking amazing. Like the game is so good. Almost as good as the original 2000 Spider-Man PlayStation 1. There are so many parallels between the two games. I'm like, this is fucking fantastic.
That's good.
I love that for you, to be honest.
I recommend everybody play it.
All right. Sacco, how about you?
I am playing City Skylines 2, actually. My friends recently got back into
Weird flex.
It. And and they convinced me. And I'm going fucking ham on it. Got a massive city going.
I would love to see you start a game that your friends did not make you start playing.
Age of Mythology. I'm still playing Age of Mythology from time to time. That my friends don't play that. That's not a game my friends play. No. Helldivers 2. Playing a lot of that.
And why are you playing that?
I'm playing that because my friends started playing that. But it is a fucking great game. That is
the that worst.
Is a fantastic game.
Get a personality and play Spider-Man 2 for once.
No, because that's just, just you. Yeah, I would be a different friend. It would just be a different friend told me to play it. Big news in Helldivers 2, the community as a whole completely eradicated the robots. So we don't got to fight robots anymore. That's it. They're done. We beat them.
There's just no more.
Yeah. The whole everybody, wow. We beat them.
There's never going to be a new one.
I don't know. Maybe they're going to come back, but as of right now, according to the game, no more robots.
There's just, you got it. You won.
Yeah, we fucked it. Go fucked outside. Up all the robots. Go Super Earth.
Right. Sure. Well, I'm playing Baldur's Gate like I can't think of anything like else because I can't. A lot.
Yeah. Me too. We're all playing.
Apex. All right.
How many hours did you have in Baldur's Gate, do you think? Just off the top of your head.
I think it's about 60.
60?
Yeah.
Damn.
That is a look on Matt's face.
A lot of hours.
Damn.
I actually didn't think it was that many.
No, I just, it's a long game.
I am playing it on the second hardest difficulty.
Yeah. Like, do you think you're almost done?
I'm getting close, but I'm probably still like 15 hours out.
I guess I'm just like, I'm more surprised because like you haven't mentioned anything about it other than that you're playing it.
Well, because it's hard to talk about because
you don't
want to
spoil it. Yeah.
I think so. There are over 17,000 endings.
Damn.
17,000?
Too many.
That's too many endings. That's too many.
That's too many. Yeah, but it's like Dungeons and Dragons. Like, how do you...
Well, that's the thing, right? So even as I'm saying...
It evolves as you...
Hey,
there's
like,
probably
this
more
is,
than that.
This is the boss fight I had at the end of Act 2. Yeah. They're... Like, I don't might even not... know... I guess if you're playing in a completely different direction, you might not even get that.
Yeah.
But that's hard to imagine in my playthrough just because everything builds up to it. But I don't
all
really
roads lead there except for the ones that don't.
That's a lot of fucking ending. That's insane.
Yeah.
That's insane. Someone's going to do it. So, you know, someone's going to get all 17,000 endings.
I'm going to be honest. There was an ending, I think, that I could have gotten at the end of, like, in the boss fight I was talking about, where I could have ended the game.
Yeah.
Wow.
You chose to carry on.
Yeah, it wasn't a great ending. I do think it would have ended the game based on what I understood would have happened.
Yeah.
Of course, that might be different, but yeah. And I mean, every little thing changes it. So, you know, something really innocuous might like changes it a lot.
Yeah.
I'm very excited. I'm actually almost like ready to be done so I can do it again.
Play it again. Immediately.
Just like no pause. How like
you
game
must,
closes.
You have to make, you'd have to make sure your choices are really different.
But not necessarily, because to be honest, I would play Dragon twice. Age Inquisition just to romance someone differently.
Yeah.
Different.
But that's what I mean. Like I can feel you, like I can see you playing that game again, like slightly different. I'm like, there's 17,000 endings. You gotta like right off the bat just start murdering people. Like
I actually I do kind of want to do, and I don't usually like want to do this because evil. But like not a chaotic evil, but just a I don't want to fucking talk to you person. Like yeah. Just immediately I'm gonna attack you. Like I don't want to try to have a conversation about this because I know the honor mode run.
Yeah, I'm
gonna
cave
have to
your
basically yeah, because I'm gonna do an honor mode run. And the honor mode run is going to be me being like avoiding every fight because I don't want to die. Because if I die, I'm
out. If you die in the game, you die for real.
Like, I walk into that room of the murder cult in my honor mode one, and it's like, yes,
that's it. It's game
who
over.
Do you want me to kill?
Yeah.
Do you want me to kill? I am now the most evil person ever because I just don't want you to kill me.
Yeah.
Like, I'm a survivor in that one, right? I have to play to, like, also a song we don't have the rights to. Anyway, so I'm really enjoying playing Baldur's Gate, but I don't know how to talk about it because there's so much to talk about, and there's so many small choices that have changed, and I can see the paths changing. And So I don't even know what, like, I'm sure there's certain points that you're obviously always the same, but to even talk about them in detail, like, I have no clue how differently they look in a different playthrough.
Yeah.
Anyway, I love this game. Just stay tuned. Fantastic.
Can't wait to hear about it the second time.
Oh, you will. Don't worry.
I know it sounds sarcastic, but I don't even try to be sarcastic.
I know. All right. Well, with that, that brings us to the end of this podcast, except for the people who want to hear Matt's boss fight story after our credits here roll. So if you like what you heard, consider checking us out on Twitch, twitch.tv/groundheathens, where we stream every Tuesday and sometimes other times throughout the week. Right now, we've been playing a lot of Apex. I'm sure we'll switch back to Stardew Valley very soon with the new update coming out. And that's about it. So go check us out there. If you want to go follow us on social media, at Crowned Heathens on Twitter. I don't know why I said it like that.
On Twitter.
Twitter. If you want to go follow us on social media, at Crowned Heathens on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. We also have a Discord server you can join by following the link in the description of this podcast. Otherwise, we thank you one more time for listening. And as always, we will catch you in the next one. Bye, everyone.
So here's the thing. You wake up one day and a spider bit you and you're like, what the fuck is this?
What is happening to me?
So one of the major enemies in Spider-Man 2 is Kraven. And Kraven's character is extremely interesting in every single version of... Basically, his backstory is that he's like the ultimate hunter and he wants to catch the ultimate prey. And the ultimate, like, prey is Spider-Man because it's, like, the one thing that it's a solo entity. Like, nothing else exists like Spider-Man. So he tries to catch him. Like, that's his whole plot, like, throughout the comics. In this game, Kraven gets cancer. And he doesn't want to die of natural causes. He wants to go out and he wants to get murdered. So Kraven is trying to fight Spider-Man, so Spider-Man will kill him. Spider-Man has a no-killing policy. You fight Kraven multiple times, and every time...
Like Batman.
Yeah, well, he's a superhero, right? Like, he's like, I don't want to kill you. So every time you fight him, Kraven ends the match, and he's like, do it. Like, fucking do it. Like, fucking kill me. And you're like, no. I have integrity, and I have rules. I'm not going to kill you. And then the second enemy in the game is Venom. And where I was caught off guard is that you get to play as Venom. And I had no idea that you could play as Venom.
Whoa.
But basically, that's how the Kraven arc ends. Like, the entire game, you're fighting Kraven. And then you get the symbiote suit. Peter Parker gets the Venom suit. And he's, like, getting evil. And he's getting, like, angry. And, like, he almost kills Kraven. And then Miles Morales stops him. And then... the Venom, like, he takes the Venom suit off and he's like, fuck, like, this is actually, like, making me, like, this isn't who I am. And it goes on to Harry Osborn and he becomes Venom and he goes on, like, a rampage and he starts murdering people. And then Kraven fights him and he's like, this is the fight I was looking for. Like, you finally did it. And Venom is like, you went after the end of the fight, Venom just reaches over and bites his face off.
Oh.
And I was literally sitting there, what, like, what the fuck is happening?
Why is Harry Venom? Is Brock not...
No, like, that's what I mean. It's supposed to be Eddie Brock Jr., but, like, yeah. In other forms, like, in the comic books, Harry is usually, like, the Green Goblin.
Yeah.
And the whole plot is that, like, he's dying, like, he becomes the Green Goblin because he has a disease that's, like, killing him.
Yeah.
So he puts the symbiote suit on to save him, and, like, at the beginning of the game, it's healing him.
Yeah.
And he's like not Venom, but he's wearing like the suit and he like kind of helps Spider-Man fight crime. And then it like ends up on Peter and Venom is like, oh no, this is like who we really want to be with. Like, we want to be with Peter. And he starts getting angry and then he takes it off and it goes back to Harry, and he's like angry because like Peter is basically like, I'm not giving you the suit, you're gonna turn evil, and Harry's like, I'm gonna die if you don't give it to me.
Yeah.
And then like Peter's like, I'm not doing it, and then like he kind of like breaks the glass case that it's in, and it jumps back on him, and he just morphs. But the thing is, like, you play like a whole level of them, and you're like walking up to like guards that are trying to fight you, and you're like picking them up and snapping their backs.
Oh,
like you're just
fuck.
Brutally murdering
that's,
people.
That's
but there's
up.
No blood, so it's still rated 10. Like it, I was so blown away when like you start playing as Venom, and it's like the whole game you're like lightly placing people, and you like web them to the wall so they don't get hurt, and then all of a sudden you're just like mass rampage, biting people's faces off, snapping their backs, and it's like very violent. Like I was playing this, and I was like, I'm kind of uncomfortable with how violent this is. And you literally just, you're picking up Oscorp guards. You're just like, and like, it's the game is fucking fantastic. There were so many more plot twists after this, and I was like, surely this is the end of the game. Like Kraven is like, this is gonna be the final fight, and then it just evolved so much. The game is so fantastic, but I will always remember that boss fight because it's like you play as, like it's a villain facing another villain.
Yeah,
and like they let you murder him.
Yeah,
and like it's in Times Square, so like you're on billboards and you're just like smashing fucking billboards, and like Kraven's flying through the air, and then you literally bite his face off.
That's crazy.
And then like Harry goes, Venom leaves, and then like Harry's like, what the fuck did I just do? Like, why did I do that? And then he's like trying to like come to terms with himself, like,
yeah,
this is wrong. And
yeah,
you're just sitting there like,
oh fuck,
this is a good fucking game.
Oh
this
fuck,
a good game.
Shit went down.
That wasn't even the final boss fight. I'm not done yet. There's so much more game.